26. I know I'm going to heaven. Do you know you're going? How do you get that? How do you know? Well, you know because you understand Jesus died for you. That we were all sinners. And Jesus died on that cross and rose the third day to pay our way to heaven. That if we would put our faith in Him, ask His forgiveness, He'll wash away our sins and write our name in the book of life. That's what it takes to be saved. That's what it takes to know that we're saved. In Jeremiah, we see a situation here with a prophet, a man of God, a preacher. And God told him, I want you to go preach, but I want you to know that nobody's going to listen to you. Now, understand, when God called us into ministry, and I mean all of us into ministry, because this is not my ministry, this is God's ministry through us, that He wants all of us to preach. He wants all of us to share the gospel, to share our faith, to ask people about their faith in God. And a lot of times we give up, we quit, we get discouraged because we try, but don't want to hear it. But God told Jeremiah when he put him in the ministry, He said, people are not going to want to hear it. Preach it anyway. Share it anyway. I don't want to stand in heaven one day at the judgment seat of Christ and have to look at people that I knew, and I knew that they needed the gospel and I didn't share it. I don't want to stand there and look around and just be able to see their faces and say, I should have told them. I should have told them. I don't want to stand in judgment for that. God's given us responsibility. He's called us into ministry. And do you know how to tell somebody? Just raise your hand. You know how to tell somebody how to be saved. All right? You know, I just said it. I'm going to say it again. Come up here, John. Why not? You're close. You should have been in the choir. Why weren't you? I didn't think about that. All right, play dumb. Why are y'all laughing? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior?
No.
Do you have done things that offended God?
Yes.
Everybody knows that, right? You know the Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. You believe that?
Yes.
Have you ever prayed and asked God to forgive you of your sins?
No.
You want to do that right now?
Yes.
That's easy, wasn't it?
That's the dumb part.
From your heart to God's heart, just pray. And just say something like this, God, I know I've let you down. I know I've sinned and offended you. And I know Jesus died for my sins to pay the price of my salvation. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. And God, I give my life to you. That's just that easy. So you're going to do that?
Yes.
You don't have to do it right now. I love you. Thank you. So do you know how to do it now? I can't make him believe. I can't make him get saved. All I can do is tell him how. You could do that with somebody at work. You could do that with somebody on, you know, at the shopping mall, somebody in your house, or getting ready to come into the holiday season. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities where we could just share our faith. It's best if we do it one-on-one away. Jesus, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, didn't he? And if you just imagine the streets of Jerusalem in the old city, and they're narrow, they're like alleys, but they're streets. And at night, when all the markets are closed and all the tents are down and the food and all the merchandise is off the street, and Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And Jesus one-on-one explained to him, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And you can make that decision today. You don't need a preacher. You don't even need a church building. I didn't even open the Bible to show them, but I mean, I encourage you, if they aren't sure, show them in the Bible where it says that. Give them the steps. Show them how. And give them a prayer. And you say, well, you shouldn't lead people in prayer. People never prayed. They don't know how to pray. Teach them. Help them. Don't say, well, I'll give you the words, but it's got to come from your heart. Well, help them to know what to say. Jeremiah was up against an impossible situation. God had looked at the sin of Israel and Judah, and he said, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. I'm going to take y'all and put you somewhere else until the next generation can appreciate what you lost. Wow, that kind of hits home, doesn't it? How tragic. The generation of people would sit back and allow their country to be taken from them. And then God would have to raise up the next generation and would remove them until that next generation was ready to come back and get it. Jeremiah was given a responsibility. Look at verse 1, chapter 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house. If there's any way to be able to preach the word of God, and it ought to be well received, it ought to be in God's house, right? It says the court of God's house. You understand it's a massive courtyard there. And there were classes, and even as we remember Jesus coming to the temple and finding them merchandising it, it's a great big piece of land on the hilltop there, the mountaintop. And he said, Jeremiah, go and preach, and if there's anywhere that God's word ought to be received easily, it's be God's house. Imagine a preacher getting up here and preaching God's word. Now, I'm not talking about preaching politics. I'm not talking about preaching some social thing. I mean, if you preach the word of God, people ought to receive it well. People ought to be ready to receive it and be hungry for more. He said, go to God's house and preach. Secondly, he says, speak unto the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. If there's anybody that ought to be ready to receive it, it ought to be those who come to worship. Why are we here today? Why did we come into this sanctuary, this place of this house of God, place of prayer? Why did we come here today? I hope that you came with a heart to receive the Word of God, to hear from God through His Word, through His speaker. You would know what God's will is for our lives today. This is not a history lesson, though it is. This is about us here now. This is about our country. This is about our family. This is about our lives. And God said, Jeremiah, I want you to go preach. And if there's anywhere it ought to be well received, it's God's house. And if there's any people that ought to be willing to hear, it's God's people, those who came to worship. I'm not going to hold back today on anything I have to say, because I accept that if you came through those doors, you were ready to hear from the Word of God. If you're tuned in online, you must be ready to hear it. Verse 3, he said, let's go back to verse 2. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Don't hold back. He said, preach it all. Give them all of it. Now, I'm not going to preach the whole book this morning. But there can't be a single word or verse in this Bible that God won't tolerate. Think about that. Is there anything in the Bible you say, I believe the whole Bible, but I don't like that verse? I like the whole Bible, but just don't preach about this right here. If that's your attitude, you've got a bad attitude and it needs to change. We ought to be willing to embrace it and accept it. By the way, it exposes us for who we are. And if there's something in there that makes you mad, good, get mad about it and change. Get mad at yourself, though. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at the church. And don't get mad at the preacher. If it offends you, that's on you. If anyone should champion God's message, it should be those who come to worship. And if there's anybody who should be willing to hear hard things that don't agree with either what they grew up believing or what they are living right now, You ought to be able to hear it. And if there's something that challenges you, go home and study it. If I say something, you say, well, that's not what that means. Go home and study it and come back tonight and tell me I'm wrong. It's okay. It'll be fine. By the way, if I'm wrong, guess what I'll do? I'll change. I'll repent. Even as a pastor, I've come across things that I believed growing up, and I preached them. Hellfire and damnation preached it. I mean, I believed it wholeheartedly. Why? Because that's what my preacher told me. That's what my Sunday school teacher told me. That's what my family told me. And then I grew up and looked in the Bible, and it wasn't there. And I had to repent, and I had to change. And I had to give up old ideas that weren't godly ideas. They weren't biblical ideas. So if you've got some of those ideas, that's fine. But don't try to push them in the Word of God. They don't fit. We draw from the Word of God our doctrine. We don't put our doctrine in here. We don't manipulate it to make it say what we want it to say. He said, diminish not a word. Don't take any of it out. Just because you don't like it. What did Jesus say when he was tempted by Satan? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Every word. Now we try to change the words because they're not comfortable, because they're not correct, because they're not... Don't change a word. Diminish not a word. Verse 3. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. He says, you preach, and I want them to have an opportunity to repent. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to go to heaven. Isn't that great? Jesus said, I'll go to prepare a place. You know what he's doing when he got there? Adding on. He said, I'm going to add on. I'm going to build more. It's bigger. It's going to be broader. And it's going to fit everybody that's coming. There's not going to be a time where you have to wait. We're waiting here, aren't we? When we get there, it's going to be ready. He's going to prepare a place for us. He wants all of us there. By the way, he wants that person at work that you don't like. He wants them to get saved and go to heaven. That person in the church that you don't like, he wants them to get saved and go to heaven. That's a joke, of course. I mean, he wants them to go to heaven. There's just nobody here you don't like, I hope. Nobody to go. He said, I want them to hear it because I want them to know what it's going to take to change. I want them to hear it because I want them to know that I love them. I want them to hear it because I want them to know that there's going to be a deadline. I want them to hear it because I want them to know there's going to be consequences. And I want them to have another chance to change. I want them to have another chance to come back, to get right. And so you preach that they might hear it, and if they hear it and they follow it, then I'll take back all the things I said. Remember Jonah? Bill, you remember Jonah? God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach to them. Jonah said, I don't want to. I don't want any of them to go to heaven. This is the Pahokee translation, okay? He said, I don't want them to repent because I don't like them. And God said, well, I'm going to rain down fire and brimstone, destroy it. He said, good. I hate those people. Kill them. God said, no, Jonah, go preach to them. Tell them they need to repent. Tell them they need to change. Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. He got a cruise line, bought a ticket on the carnival, right? Got out in the water. The waves got rough. The storm came up, and they said, something's going on. This is not a normal storm. Jonah said, I know what it is. God's mad at me. They said, well, to tell us how to pray, because we want God to stop this. Jonah said, no, just throw me overboard. Could have just jumped. I needed help. But they threw him overboard. He ends up in the water, and then a fish comes by, a big whale, swallows him up. He lives in there for 3 days. Finally, the whale said, I don't want this stinking, unrepentant preacher in me either. And he threw him up on the shore. Hey, y'all got to get your Pahokee translation. It's very interesting. Vomited him up on the shore at Joppa, or modern-day Tel Aviv, right there on the Mediterranean. Throws him up. Jonah says, I tell you what, God, I'll go preach. He goes and he preaches to people that he doesn't want to repent. Jeremiah's here preaching to people he does want to repent. Jonah preaches and they all repent. They went so far as to put sackcloth and ashes on the animals. They wanted everybody to repent. They got right. They had revival. Jonah sat up on the hill and pouted. Oh, I didn't want him to get saved. I didn't want him to get right. But God says, Jonah, you got to give him a chance. We can't just punish them. We want them to know what's happening. We want them to know what they did wrong. Because if they know what they did wrong, they can make it right. Guys, that's what it's about. God is not wanting to destroy everybody and send them to hell. He wants everybody to repent, even if you don't like them. He wants everybody to have a chance. He says, go preach to them. Maybe they'll get right, and I'll take back what I promised. Jonah said, here's the thing, God. I know if I preach, you won't destroy them. God said, if they repent, I won't destroy them. He says to Jeremiah, if they repent, I won't destroy them. But you tell them that if they don't repent, I'm going to lay this city, the city of Jerusalem, flat, plowed under, destroyed. Look at it. Verse 6, I will make this house like Shiloh and will make this city a curse to the nations. God says, I will destroy this city if they don't repent. Now, understand something, and this is what's important. We can't make too many parallels here because this is what God said specifically to Jeremiah to say specifically to Jerusalem at his temple. He said, people of all nations who come to worship, but there, tell them. Tell them there. I'll wipe it all out if they don't get right. Jeremiah preached that. What if someone came here today and said, if y'all don't get right with God, if y'all don't start being the church that God wants you to be, God's going to destroy this building. He's going to lay it flat on the ground. He's going to wipe it all, everything that's here, he's going to lay it flat, plowed under, destroyed. You'd say, that's not very comfortable. We worked hard. We're going to celebrate our 49th anniversary, the organization of the church. And we worked hard these years, and we don't want to lose it, and we don't want anybody messing with it. We don't even want to think about everything here being just wiped out, flattened out, and destroyed. We don't even want to think about that. This is part of who we are, our identity, and it helps us identify with our faith in God. So don't even joke about tearing this place down. Remember, they're at the courtyard of the temple of Mount Moriah. They said, Jeremiah, boy, you can get killed for that. Verse number 8, last phrase, thou shalt surely die. You don't get killed preaching like that, Jeremiah. Man, you're threatening the temple of God, the Temple Mount, all of this stuff that we got. It's a part of our identity and who we are and our faith. They rejected him. Threatened execution. In fact, look at verse number 10. It says, that when the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house. So the message is spreading all around the city. And they sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, spake the priests, verse 11, and the prophets to the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears. Now, hold on a second. Remind me. Who was it? The preacher? Other preachers. It was priests and the prophets. They were equals to him, at least in their minds, in their titles. But God said to Jeremiah, I got a message and I want you to preach it. And he went and preached it and they all turned on him. They all stood against him and they said, not only are you fired, we're going to kill you. Thanks for that, Lord. Why is he there? Because God told him to go. Why did he preach it? Because God gave him the message. Who did he preach to? People God said won't listen to the message. Preached it anyway. Well, you talk about grit. Courage. Faith. Though no one believes it, Jeremiah preached it. They said, we're going to kill you. You know what Jeremiah said? Okay. Well, you need to change your message, not changing the message. You need to take it back, not taking it back. We're going to kill you if you don't. He said, kill me. But understand something. God told me to preach that message, and God told me to preach it here and to preach it to you. So if you don't like it, tough. How many churches you think will put up with a preacher like that? If God gave him the message, we better listen to it. They're ready to kill him. His own people, prophets and priests. And he didn't cower down and say, well, I take it back. He said, it's the word of God. Well, you mean this part right here? This part right here. This part right here? Yep. How about this page over here? Doesn't matter which page you turn to, it is. We're not taking it out. We're not changing it. We're not making it more palatable for you. We're not making it more comfortable. It is what it is from the heart of God. And they said, we're going to kill you, Jeremiah. I said, kill me if you want to, but understand something. You'll be killed God's man for preaching God's word in God's temple. But kill me if you have to. Are we that committed? Verse 15, but know for a certainty, if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. The religious people are afraid of what will happen to them with Jeremiah preaching stuff like this. They're protecting their jobs. They're protecting their income. They're protecting their own security, their own safety. And so they say, he can't do that anymore. You've got to stop that. By the way, remember in the New Testament when Jesus was talking about the communion and he said, this bread is my flesh, and if you don't accept this, and the disciples said, oh, you can't preach that stuff. In fact, the Bible says many from that time left and never came back. So if it happened to Jesus, it could happen to us. You just got to preach it straight. Just got to lay it out there just like God gave it to us. And then some leaders in the government, some in authority, not in the religious group, but on the government side, verse 16, then said the princes and all the people to the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die. Spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. There were some people there who got convicted about their sin. There were some people there who were willing to admit that they weren't living the way they should. They weren't doing be doing. They didn't have a relationship with God, or at least not the kind of relationship they should have. Willing to admit it instead of hiding under some disguise or some facade of religion and saying, well, I go to church. I must be a good person. Going to church doesn't make you a good person. Even being a Christian, being saved and having our sins washed away doesn't make us good people. It's what we do with that salvation and with that faith that can be good. And so they stopped. The government stopped the church from killing their own. Wow. The leader said, you better heed his word because the message is from God. In the rest of the chapter, we see two examples, and we won't go through them, but the one says, hey, there was a preacher who rose up before and preached something like this. And we repented and everything worked out. So we should do the same thing. We should repent from this message. And then somebody said, well, there was another preacher who rose up and preached a message the king didn't like. And he ran away and the king went and got him and killed him. And nothing happened. In other words, if we kill him, what's the downside? the sanity of people who just don't like to admit that they're wrong. We've got to be willing to see where we could be wrong. Let me ask you something about God's message. When we hear the message preached, do we personalize it? Do we say, hey, God's talking to me? Or do we say, you know, I wish my brother had been here. He really needed to hear that. I wish my wife would have heard that message. She really needed to hear that. Or do we say, hey, you know what? I was there and I heard it. And I really need to accept what he said. Do we personalize it? Do we repent? Or do we trivialize it? You hear that preacher said this morning? Man, I can't believe he still preaches stuff like that. That stuff doesn't matter anymore. That stuff's not relevant anymore. Trivialize it, minimize it, say it's for somebody else, or get mad at the preacher. Well, he exaggerated and took context. By the way, if he does, call him out. But let's make sure that we're right when we do. And it happens a lot. But let's make sure if we call them out that we're accurate. Instead of just trying to dismiss the message because we don't like it. You see, the thing is, hell is real. Heaven is real. The salvation of souls through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection that day, that's real. It's powerful and it changes lives. It can change your life. But you have to take God's word seriously and urgent. Don't say, well, you know, I'm going to wait until I review it a little bit and consider it a little bit and I'll think about it and maybe next week. How about right now, from your heart to God's heart, you say, God, what I'm hearing today really challenges my heart and it strikes me and convicts me and I wonder what I need to change. God, I want you to know I'm surrendered to whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want, even though it may not be what I have planned. I'm surrendered to you. And I'm going to study on this, and I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to examine it, and I'm not sure exactly what you want me to do, but God, I'm surrendered to whatever you want me to do. How many of us could say that this morning? Whatever it is, God, I'll do it. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much. We're glad to be in your house and to hear your word. It brings us to a point of decision. What will I do with the message? How will it change my life? Do I accept every word in the book as true? Do I accept the Bible as coming from your heart? God, draws to you, and if there's anyone here today, anyone in the sound of my voice that needs to repent and be born again right now, I pray they'll pray. God, draw them to you. Open their hearts. Open their minds. Draw us to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. You could pray where you are, but if you want me to pray with you, would you come down the aisle right now? By the hand and say, Pastor, I need prayer. Or maybe you say, I need Jesus. Maybe you say, Pastor, I prayed and I accepted God. God's Son is my Savior. He's forgiven my sins and I want to bury my past in the waters of baptism. Is that your prayer this morning? Is that your desire? Maybe you've got some burden you're carrying. I'd be glad to pray with you. This is your opportunity. Amen. All right. Glad you're here today. Hope you'll come back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And anything before we're dismissed? What's next Sunday? All right. Let's make sure we come next Sunday. And look, a great day. Bring a song. You want to sing a song? Come sing a song. All right. Anything else? Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. I already told Bill I was going to ask him to pray. Brother Sanders.